And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Every once in a while, we like to treat our listeners to one of our past feature stories that was particularly interesting and well-received. We call it our Summer Encore Series. This week, we offer up an interview in which Bill Wood spoke with retired local meteorologist Jan Null.
Some years ago, I was at a retirement party for a meteorologist. He opened a gift and said, "It's a rock. What's this?" The answer from the room was, "It can forecast the weather just like you. Set it in the yard outside where you can see it from your window. If it is dry, the sun is shining. If it is damp, that's fog. If it's wet, rain. And when the rock is white, it's snowing." The birthday boy closed the joke by observing that the rock was of no use in telling you if the wind was blowing. However, while the rock is funny, there are times when you need to call in a real meteorologist to tell you why the sun is so hot or when the next time that rock is going to be wet. My guest today is Jan Null, a former National Weather Service lead forecaster and certified consulting meteorologist who is now predicting the seemingly unpredictable as the voice of the Golden Gate Weather Services. Welcome, Jan.
Thanks, Bill. It's nice to join you. And I have actually used to have one of those weather rocks.
How often did you use it?
Didn't use it very often, but it was a good conversation.
Yeah, it would be. The 9th of September will long be remembered as a day the sun did not rise in the Bay Area. Actually, it did come up in Half Moon Bay, but we only saw a dark orange sky. We know that there was smoke in the fog, but why so dark and why the color orange?
Well, it was a combination of things. One, that usually when we get smoke around here, it's a fairly thin layer. It's usually well above us and, you know, it makes for nice red sunsets. It really enhances that. This was a case where we were getting just an incredibly thick layer of smoke that covered most of northern and central California. And you combine that with the fog and it blocked out or attenuated most of the light coming from the sun to the point it looked like dusk all day long. The same characteristics of dusk would we get the red and orange sunset are because we are scattering out almost all of the light except the reds and the orange color.
That's sort of like when we look at water and it's clear, but it reflects back the only one of the spectrum, the blue.
Right. And that in our normal atmosphere, the oxygen and nitrogen molecules are very effective through what's called Rayleigh scattering. They scatter out all the blue colors the most. So that's why when we look up at the sky, it looks blue. When the sun starts getting down near the horizon and it's going through a thicker part of the atmosphere, then we're scattering out almost all the color except for the reds and the oranges. That's what happened just to, you know, whole order of magnitude, greater extent on September 9th.
I would think that long-range forecasting would have some expected formulas that would guide you with your predictions. But what do you do when wildfires are thrown into the mix?
Yeah, you know, that is something that is not a major element in most of the computer models that we use to look at what's going to happen, be it an hour from now, 24 hours from now, 6 days from now. It was a real challenge as far as forecasting temperatures. We had been in a period of relatively warm weather, even here on the coast, but especially on into the bay and on inland. And by blocking out the sun, you're blocking out the heating. And so there were temperature forecasts that were missed between 20 and 30 degrees. Instead of 90 degrees, you had some temperatures that were down in the 60s.
And another thing, of course, that affects our weather, El Niño.
La Niña.
The only thing is that these terms are tossed back and forth so often that sometimes I think we cannot always remember which one does what. Can you give us a simple way to remember the difference?
Sure, and then I'll give you a lot of caveats about using some of the rules of thumbs that we have sort of been taught over the years. El Niño is when we get this abnormal warming along the equator in the eastern Pacific Ocean. And when that happens, we're measuring that by looking at what the sea surface temperatures are, and also that expansion of water also makes that part of the Pacific slightly higher what's happening along the equator affects the jet streams in both the northern and southern hemisphere. And when you start moving those around, you start moving around the weather patterns that are going to be happening over California and across most of North America and in other parts of the world as well. With La Nina, that is when we see an abnormal cooling of the waters in the eastern tropical Pacific. In that case, it also shifts the jet stream, but just in a different way. Sort of the idealized model that you will see in a lot of textbooks and in, you know, newspaper articles will have during an El Niño year, you will have the subtropical jet stream being enhanced and more rainfall than usual falling, especially in Southern California, but over a large portion of California and across the southern tier of the United States. The opposite happens with La Niña in that the subtropical jet stream is really suppressed, and we get less rain than normal across a large portion of California, above normal rainfall in the Pacific Northwest. That's sort of been, again, that idealized image. Well, we're finding out El Niño does not operate alone in the atmosphere. We have this whole alphabet soup, if you will, of different indices. There's the PDO, the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. There's the AO, the Arctic Oscillation, the MJO, Magellan Oscillation. All of those are happening at the same time. Singularly, they don't have the effect of an El Niño or La Niña, but they act to either increase the effects of El Niño or La Niña or to suppress those effects. So we need to look at what is happening in the other parts of the atmosphere and how they are impacting it. We are currently about to begin a weak La Niña winter. If we go back to past weak La Niña winters, so this is when La Niña is just across the threshold of, you know, what makes it a La Niña. We find in California that about half the time the El Niños are above normal and about half the time they're below normal rainfall across the state. This was really driven home in the, there was a weak La Niña in the winter of 2016-2017, which was a very wet winter across most of California. The next year was also a weak La Niña, and that was basically was a drought year. We had rainfall amounts that were half of normal in Southern California and about two-thirds of normal in Northern California, both weak La Niña. So we can't really say, you know, just because it's going to be a La Niña or an El Niño, there is a definite pattern that happens. And a lot of education going on now to sort of get people off of that mindset.
Of course, significant to Half Moon Bay is our fishing industry, always seeing restrictions every once in a while on seasons for fish and crabs. Just a few months ago, huge tuna appeared. Of course, the anglers were delighted about that. You know what climate factors brought them here?
Well, one thing I can say for sure is it is not El Niño or La Niña. And I often see things when there are unusual species being caught off the coast that, oh, it's related to El Niño. That warm water happens at the equator and it stays near the equator. It's not spread up into the California coast at all. But the sorts of things that, you know, that are happening is that the oceans are warming with climate change. Some of the impacts that would be similar to what would be happening in the equatorial regions that we are seeing in other regions. So that warm water is not confined to just the tropics. We are seeing changes in the biosphere and where these others are going on.
I once heard that the definition of an expert is a guy in a coat and tie from out of town with a PowerPoint presentation. But you are a genuine expert with over 500 appearances as a witness with climate data for litigation, insurance, and research. With all that activity, do you ever find time to just go out and look at the sky?
I actually do. I'm a fairly avid photographer. I'm a amateur astronomer as well. And though this has not been the best summer for the astronomy portion of enjoying, especially the night sky, one of the things I love about here on the coast is that there are, you know, at night the skies are spectacular as you get away from the city. The Milky Way jumps out at you down south of San Gregorio when you don't have the city lights.
Now, as a radio announcer, I like to have a word first thing in the morning to warm up my lips, and meteorology has given me a new one. Pyrocumulonimbus. I say that three times, I'm ready to go. Just what are those clouds?
So, you know, if we sort of do the breaking up of the words itself, so pyro refers to fire. A cumulus cloud is one that has vertical development to it. When you combine it with nimbus, then it also has precipitation with it, and it's more specifically, it means a thunderstorm. So these are thunderstorms that are produced by the rising air and the particulates above wildland fires. And we have certainly seen some very scary examples of those this past year, especially probably the most dramatic one that I have ever seen was over the Creek Fire a week and a half ago to the east of Fresno. There's some great imagery of that. It looks like, you know, in the satellite loop animation of, you know, like a nuclear bomb going off, this big mushroom of the cumulonimbus forming, pushing up above the smoke and spreading out. Very dramatic.
Well, it has been a dramatic season, and we would like to think it's over, but we know it isn't. There's going to be more problems. The major portion of our atmosphere is about 10 miles thick. Now, that's close to the distance between Half Moon Bay and San Gregorio. Not a lot. And Jan, I would really like to thank you for helping us to understand what goes on in that precious envelope around our planet.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
My guest today has been Jan Null, meteorologist, educator, and the voice of the Golden Gate Weather Service. This is Bill Wood with the Feature Story of the Week.
Bill Wood with a summer encore feature story interview with our local meteorologist and talented photographer, Jan Null. For Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson.